Let's just have a word of prayer before we get started. Father, we are grateful for the privilege to come into the house of the Lord. We trust, Father, that you would just minister to our hearts, oh God, tonight. May we be strengthened and encouraged by the word. Ask, oh God, that you take control of every thought. Touch us in our bodies that we'd be able to receive tonight from you. Thank you for allowing many of the saints to arrive safely. Those that are still on the way, God, may they arrive safely as well. Some are not able to join us tonight. Pray that you'd look upon them. Some streaming. Pray that you'd minister to them right where they are. And God, speak to every circumstance and situation through your word. We're careful to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's turn here in our Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. Praise the Lord. And we will start reading at verse 10 on that. Amen. All right. It reads as follows. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Praise God. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God, the Father, the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going here to slide 12, I believe. That's where we left off. Let me just confirm here. Yeah, we'll go to slide 12, get some key statements, and then we will keep moving forward. This first statement says, Jesus said, I am the truth. I tell you, when people say, what about this, what about that, it's good to feel that old truth buckled around you. Isn't it knowing where you're standing? Praise God. It's a beautiful feeling to know where you stand when it comes to the word of the Lord. This next statement says, it is in the midst of a time of great trouble that Jesus comes. And with his coming, there is a resurrection. Amen. There is a resurrection. Next statement says, then if he is Jehovah Jireh, he's Jehovah Rapha, the healer also for all seven compound names, our victory, our banner, our shield, and our buckler, and our healing, and our salvation, our provided sacrifice, all laid in him. Amen. It all laid in Christ. Thank God for that. Another statement says there's only that one holds the future, and that's God. So instead of you hold the future, let him hold you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Rather than you worried about it, just let him hold you because he got it all in control. Amen. This next statement says, but we're in a wrestling match. We're wrestling not with fine-dressed intellectual psychology, but we're wrestling with the power and the promise of God, which can break any hole on any devil at any time. And that's important to realize. Whatever you're going through, it can be changed just like that if you just hold to God's word. Amen. Like Brother Branham said earlier in this early statement, it's so good to be buckled with the truth. I mean, and you just, we'll get into this later, but that the reason that they had to have the belt, the buckle, it held the rest of the garment together, right? And when you're buckled with the truth, it holds everything else together. Right? Satan throwing this at you, Satan throwing that at you, but I'm buckled with truth. Amen. Right? My faith is settled on something. And when you're standing like that, it's very hard for the devil to penetrate and do damage in your life. So thank God for that. We're wrestling. We're in a wrestling match. We're wrestling not with fine-dressed intellectual psychology, but we're wrestling with the power and the promise of God, which can break any hole on any devil at any time. Amen, 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 amen. All right, next statement says, if my mother, he was going to prison, would have made me take them things back, I wouldn't be going here today. There you see, don't be wishy-washy. And you know, Brother Branham talking about this young man that was making a statement to the court before he was headed to prison. And his statement was that if my mama would have been a little bit stronger, if she'd have said no, if she wouldn't have been wishy-washy, if she'd have just planted, feet down on some things, I wouldn't be going to jail today, right? And it's something that a young man can look at his mama and say, "You failed me. That's why I'm going to jail." But I think as parents, you don't want to be wishy-washy. Just hold your position. Especially when your position is on the word. Amen. Right? When you know the word of God, say, no, that's wrong, hold your position. Mm-hmm. Right? Just stay right there with it. They'll get over it. Right. They'll get over it. If y'all have, and all of you have, that have been mothers, you've had them at the baby stage where they have been changed, they have been fed, but yet they're still crying. Yeah. And when that happens, what you let them do is cry it out. Amen. And sometimes you got to let your kids, when they get older, let them cry it out. Because eventually what happens when that little baby start crying it out, they'll go to sleep eventually. And you ain't got to worry about the crying no more. They'll cry themselves to sleep. Right? So sometimes, you just let them work it out. They'll be all right. You just don't be wishy-washy. Amen. Don't compromise with their sin. Don't compromise with their sin. No, they wrong. Wrong is wrong and right is right. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. When you're standing on the word, it's not a popular stand all the time. But nonetheless, you have to do what God has called you to do and let God honor his word on your behalf. Amen. All right. Okay, I'm slipping over here to verse 14. So slide 15 is where we're going. And verse 14 is what we're looking at. And verse 13 and 14 kind of stick together because of that last statement there. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And as we discussed previously, this is the evil day. Withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Paul continues the thought in the next verse. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. In this slide, Brother Branham tells us a little something here. It says, when we hear so much that the days of miracles pass and you Pentecostal and full gospel people have gone off on the wrong end, I think it's because they don't understand. After that Urim Thummim of that priest age, or that age ceased in the Aaronic Levitical priest age, we have another Urim Thummim, and that's God's Bible. And if our signs and wonders are God's word, if our God's word is reflecting them, then we can say amen to it. So we want to just kind of hit a few quotes in this, but that quote that I just kind of put there, I brought the Urim Thummim back in because that was the breastplate of Aaron. And that breastplate that Aaron had was something that, you know, if a dreamer told a dream, or even somebody prophesied or whatever, and they took that before the Urim Thummim, if it did not flash, if the lights did not flash on the Urim Thummim, then they put that person to death, right? So, you know, it had to agree. If their dream or their prophecy, it had to agree with God. Let's just put it that way, because this breastplate, we no longer have that physical breastplate anymore. But our Urim Thummim today is the Word of God. And if somebody says something or they prophesy something and you can't connect that back to the Word, then you have to let it go. Even dreams, when I listen to dreams, I always try to tie the dream back to the Scripture. I want to see what Scripture is connected there. Amen. That's how I can tell whether this is of God or whether it's got the proper interpretation or not. I don't want a dream just based on my feelings, just based on my emotions. I'm looking for something to connect right back to the Word of God. And when you connect it to the Word, then you got something solid you're standing on. Praise the Lord. All right, so very, very important that we understand that. That this breastplate of righteousness, you know, we need that. It's very important for us as Christians. I'm going over here to this sermon, Faith Without Works is Dead, in our quotes that we have lined up for here. And this first one says, now notice, if you could believe, say for instance, I was at the altar as a sinner. Now, the only way that you'll ever be able to obtain anything from God is by faith. And he says, you all understand that, for the whole Christian armor is faith, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, patience, all the unseen. And we as Christians, we do not look at what we see. So as Christians, we do not look at what we see. We look at what we believe. I like that. We don't look at what we see, but we look at what we believe. See what I mean? We believe it before there's any natural evidence. Praise God. We believe it before there's any natural evidence. Amen. That just kind of some people just can't operate like that. You know, they have that saying, "I'm from Missouri, show me." Right? I'm from the show me state. You got to show me. You know, but when you as a Christian, it's not like that. Where you got to believe before you see things. You got to believe before you see it, and you got to keep confessing it. And it's actually your faith that's bringing it to pass. It's your faith that's doing that. All right, it says, the Virgin Mary, when the angel of God met her and said, "Hail Mary, blessed art thou among women," and began to tell her that she was going to give birth to a child without knowing any man, being a virgin, she accepted the angel's word, and she began to testify and tell people that she was going to have a baby without knowing a man before there was any natural evidence at all. She just believed it, and she acted upon what she believed. Now, that's what you have to do to get well. Ain't that something? Mary was told by an angel that she was going to have a baby, and she went out telling everybody that she was going to have this baby. Not ever knowing a man, but she believed what the angel said. She began to confess that in her, and actually it was because of her faith, because of her belief, That's what allowed her to get pregnant. When she said, "Be it unto me according to thy word," that's what brought the pregnancy. Oh, my. Your agreement with the word of God is what changes your situation. Your agreement, I mean complete agreement. And when you are in full agreement with it, you'll testify about it. You'll tell people, you know, even though you don't see it, you'll still tell people, "I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed." Doctor be telling you all just what the charts say. I hear you. I understand, but I'm healed. I'm healed. Every patient can walk in here and say things like that. And, you know, they might even, you know, criticize your faith and things like that and tell you, you know, I know other people say things like that and they're not here no more. But doctor, just tell me one thing. Everybody that you operated on, I'm talking about everybody. Did they keep living? Does any of them die after you operated on them? And when y'all come in here with your operations or your medications or whatever, you tell people it's a 50-50 chance. That means a 50-50 chance I could die or live. So look, I'm going to claim my healing. I'm going to claim my healing. So I don't, my body ain't said it yet, but my faith is saying it. And I'm going to keep saying it until my body come in line with my faith. I'm going to tie myself to a promise. Glory to God. Amen. Here, the rest of this quote says, let's turn, into another quote here, Israel and the Church, part 3. Let's turn right now over to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, just a moment, and read just a little bit here about what way we should be dressed up. To along about that time, all right, Ephesians 6:12, you that are putting it down, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See where our wrestle is today. See what the death angel is spiritual power, wickedness in high places, great places, big places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about you with truth. I'll just hit that one because I want to get back to my subject. Watch him. He goes ahead and said, he says, the breastplate and the helmet and everything else, wish we could dress the soldier up for you here, but we haven't got time. Let's just take the loins, gird it about with a girdle. That's the belt that holds the rest of it together. Praise God. That's the belt that holds the rest of it together. Gird your loins with truth. Amen. In the day, brother, when there's all kinds of isms and fanaticisms, it's time to gird yourself with truth. Hallelujah. Now, you know, he's speaking this in 1953. He's saying this in 1953. And, you know, what has happened in the past few years in our midst, we can see where this is being manifested. When there's all kind of isms, yes, and fanaticism, yes, amen, it's time. And let me, I'm gonna go a little further with that statement. Even in the message, there are isms and fanaticisms. Glory to God. I am telling you, amen, there's some strange things that happen even in the ranks of the message. Praise God, right? But it's so good to know when you've been buckled with truth, them things don't bother you. Most of us have seen a lot of nonsense. You know, we saw it in denomination. We saw it also in the message. We've seen a lot of it. But just because I see, you know, somebody getting off in an ism or fanaticism, that don't mean the message is wrong. They wrong, but the message not wrong. Right? The same thing with somebody, you know, get off with something crazy, you know, out of the Bible. You know, some denomination. Don't mean that the Bible wrong. No, they wrong. Right? So when you gird it with truth, you can look things like that in the eyes. Like, I'm not shook by that. I'm not shook by, I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying right here. I ain't moving. Yeah. Because I'm girded with truth. Mm-hmm. Truth. Amen. And scriptures say you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Yes.
So that's the belt that holds the rest of it together. Gird your loins with truth. And the day, brother, when there's all kinds of isms and fanaticism, it's time to gird yourself with truth. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the truth. The truth, I tell you. When people say, what about this? What about that? It's good to feel that old truth buckled around you, isn't it? Knowing where you're standing. Then stand there. Let them say, well, you have this, that, and the other. You know where you're standing. Have the whole armor buckled on and with a gird around here. And when Brother Branham say, you know where you're standing, some of y'all done had to do this. People saying all kind of stuff about you. And you just sit there with that smile on your face. And they trying to figure out why you got that little silly grin on your face. Because I know where I'm standing.
Amen.
And ain't nothing you can say to pull me off where I'm standing. If you knew what I knew, you'd be standing the same way.
Amen.
Glory to God. It says, you know where you stand and have the whole armor buckled on and with a girt around here, buckled down good and tight, pulled down with the truth of God's word, anchored in your heart. All devils in hell can't upset you. That's right. You can meet Satan, say it's written. Hallelujah. I tell you, brother, did you take up serpents? No, sir. I believe Jesus Christ. Did you do this, that, or the other? No, sir. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now he just made a little statement there, and I'm gonna just throw this out here for you. People will challenge your faith, and they used to do this, you know, in churches years ago, and it still happens still in the North a little bit, but even around here, people would challenge your faith. You got faith? Yeah, I got faith. Well, I got a little bag over here, and I got a snake inside the bag. If you got faith, reach your hand in that bag and pull that snake out. Now, that's not faith. That's absolutely not faith by me reaching my hand in that bag. That's just foolishness,
yes.
Right? And really what it is I'm tempting God.
Yes.
Now, where my faith come in is that if I'm building a fire, And a snake just so happened to bite me on my hand while I'm trying to build a fire to get warm, and I just shake it off, and nothing happened to me, that's where my faith come in. I wasn't looking. Look, I respect the snake. I respect the snake. Just like I'm not going to, if I see gators in the water, I ain't jumping in to swim in there. That ain't faith to jump in the water like that. I'm a bind these gators. No. No, them gators gonna bind you. But you don't do things like that and call it faith. That's not faith. Faith is that if I was in the boat and somehow I fell out the boat into the water with the gators, I'm believing God gonna get me out of this situation. Then I'll bind some gators. But I ain't running out there to go in the name of Jesus. That, they are in their habitat. That's like somebody coming to you and telling you to get out your house. No, this is my home. You ain't got that much faith to come kick me out my own house.
Right.
And we used to do things like that. Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Isms and fanaticism. Mm-hmm. People live in this house, and I'm laying my hands on these people. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to get this house. Well, in order for you to get the house, they got to get put out.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all. We done did this, and that don't work. That ain't what God talking about. That ain't what he talking about. All right, he says this. He says, it's written, hallelujah, I tell you, brother, did you take up serpents? No, sir, I believe Jesus Christ. Did you do this, that, the other? No, sir, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, buckled about and armor on, girded with truth. And they were ready while they were eating. God wants you to dress up before you eat this communion. Brother, before you can correctly eat it, you have to dress up. For the Holy Spirit that's in your heart will bring the Holy Spirit, lives on the word of God. I wanted to just quickly see if I can catch a scripture here out of Psalms 119, verse 9. Gird ourselves with truth and have it on that breastplate of righteousness. Psalms 119, and I want to start at verse 9. It says this, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And this right here, this is the scripture. Thy word have I hid in my heart. See, that breastplate of righteousness is covering the word that's actually hid in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart. As believers, as Christians, your natural man requires, it's not just desired, but your natural man requires food in order to sustain. And if your natural man requires food, your spiritual man will also require food. And the food that you give your spiritual man is the Word of God. I can't tell you how many times I've just picked up my Bible to read, going through my daily reading plan, and just the scripture that I need for the moment is sitting right there. And I'm going through a particular thing, and just sitting there, you pause and you reflect on that scripture, and it just gives you just a little strength just to kind of keep pressing on. Yes. Oh, my. We were, last night praying, and one of the scripture the Lord just kind of gave me, I just thought about a promise that one of the brothers, Brother Simbet shared, one time, and it came back to me, and I want to pray over this scripture, but it was Psalms 84, I believe, might be 15 or 16, but it says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright before him. And I just took that little part. It's more in that scripture, but that's just the end part of it. And I just kept telling the devil, no good thing. Is this good? You can talk to the devil when you got one of those. Is this good that I'm asking God for? Well, this is what he said. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright. So that means God is not the one withholding his blessing. This is Satan blocking me from my blessing, because God said in his word, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright before him. And I know I'm walking upright before him. So ain't nothing can stop me from getting what God has for me. Amen. That the songwriter say, what God has for me, it is for me. I know without a doubt that he will bring me out. Because what God has for me, it is for me. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright before him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just you, all you need sometimes just a little sentence from God. It's enough to give you power to overcome. Here the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I went and sin, Brother Branham told us that sin is simply unbelief. I don't want to confess my doubts. I don't want to, especially when God done proved himself to me, I just don't want to say the wrong thing. We went 40 days without saying nothing negative. We ought to just stay on it for the rest of the year. Don't say nothing negative. Just keep confessing the word of God, no matter what you run into. It says, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I would delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I won't forget it. So just being girded about with truth, it's the word of God that we're girded with. Here we go on in this, some quotes out of the message, presuming. I thank the Lord for giving me millions of friends around the world, and they're Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, what is it? Now, that Christian businessman that I'm with right now, going all over the world with them people, why is it? I tell them just the same as I tell anyone. And I said that the other day in a meeting. One of the head men stood up, he said, "That's why we have you with us." Said, "You keep with the word, and it keeps us lined up." That's right. People admire you if you tell the truth. How many of you girls appreciate a good old mother that spared not the rod, but kept you lined up? Do you appreciate her? Says, how about that old gray-headed daddy that's out here in the graveyard today? Do you love him? Why, he was a daddy, that's right. But the one who let you, he says, I seen a boy the other day stole and everything else and carried on. Why, his mother upheld him in it. What we call that today is an enabler. Sometimes mama know the child doing wrong, but she enables this behavior. And all in the name of love. But that's the wrong type of love. Love is corrective. Right? So but Brother Ram said this mother upheld him in it. And he said, if my mother, see, he was going to prison, if my mother would have made me take them things back, I wouldn't be going here today. There you are. See, don't you be wishy-washy. God wants you to stand on what's truth.
Yeah, that's right.
Praise God. Amen. And them kids start acting all up, and if you would have let me do this, and if you would have let me do that, No. Did you stay out of jail?
That's right.
Did you do this? Then I did the right thing. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Like I told you before, most of the kids don't understand that those decisions, they don't understand until they actually have children.
Right.
That's when it start clicking.
Yeah.
If they good parents,
yeah.
Right? Amen. But you know, you can't let them kids just do whatever they want to do. You know, and no got to mean no.
That's right.
Amen. All right. Let's see here. I had a scripture that I wanted to read. Let me just think about this. Let me see. I think I can catch a little bit of this. This is this breastplate. We find it the physical breastplate, the Urim Thummim. We find it over here in Exodus 28, and. They had this, God had given them this so that they could judge whether something was right or wrong. Here in verse 15, Exodus 28, we'll read this. It says, and thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work after the work of the ephod. Thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen. Shalt thou make it foursquare, it shall be being double, a span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. Thou shalt set in it settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardis, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row, and the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. Recently, I did some teaching on this scripture and tied it into the book of Revelation because the foundation of the city, of the new city, also has these, most of these same stones in there. And what I found is that the only stone in Exodus, as well as in Revelation, the only stone that's in the same position is this emerald stone, where it talked in verse 18, the emerald stone. And what we're bringing out is that emerald is the same color, the pillar of fire. Right. And so the same pillar of fire that was leading the children of Israel out, that same pillar of fire showed up today and took its picture with the prophet, showing that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right. So that emerald says the second row should be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings, and the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Everyone with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. Thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. Thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and shalt put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. Thou shalt put the two wreathen chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate, and the other two ends of the two wreathen chains. Thou shalt fasten in the two ouches, and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And thou shalt make two rings of gold, and thou shalt put them upon the two ends of the breastplate in the border thereof, which is in the side of the ephod inward. And two other rings of gold thou shalt make, and shalt put put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, toward the forepart thereof, over against the other coupling, therefore above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loose from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. So this Urim and Thummim is a breastplate on over the heart of Aaron, which is a type of us having this breastplate of righteousness over our heart, guarding how we guard ourselves with the word of God, how we buckle ourselves with the word of God. This is what gives us victory over the enemy. We don't need supernatural power to defeat the devil. Amen. Simply need the word of God. Amen. That's all we need. You'll drive devils back if you can just get a scripture in your heart. And you got to know that word. You got to read that word. You got to know that word. And I mean, I tell you, it changes your attitude. It changes your situation when a word is quickened to you in the midst of something you're going through. It'll put a smile on your face. The word is powerful. Powerful. But you got to know that word. You got to be reading that word in order to get that word in your heart. All right. Here, Brother Branham says this in the message, "Behold, the greater than Solomon is here." So we notice in the Bible, if a prophesier or a dreamer had a dream and they was uncertain about it, they'd take them down to the temple and put them before the Urim Thummim. And notice if the Urim Thummim didn't answer back, now the closest study that I can find on that, what that Urim Thummim was this breastplate of Aaron's. I picked it up the other day at one of the conventions up at the American Baptist Grounds up in Green Lake, Wisconsin, where the Full Gospel Businessmen was having a convention, and they had the pattern of the stones there. And they took a dreamer or a prophesier, no matter how well it seemed, if those mysterious lights like a rainbow flickering on that Urim Thummim, then the dream wasn't accepted, neither the prophecy. It was tried by the Urim Thummim. So see, it was supernatural that always vindicated truth. Amen. Now, I think the same thing today. When we hear so much the days of miracles is past and you Pentecostal and full gospel people have gone off on the wrong end, I think it's because they don't understand after that Urim Thummim, that priest age or that age ceased in the Aaronic Levitical priest age, we have another Urim Thummim, and that's God's Bible. Amen. See, and if our signs and wonders are God's word is reflecting them, then we can say amen to it. Amen. Is God vindicating exactly what he promised to do? We want to make sure everything ties back to the word of God. Amen. Here in the next sermon, he says in the message communion, he says, and communion was held first way down in Egypt. The first of the communion, which was the Passover lamb that was slain, which was a type of Christ. And many of us are familiar with that blessed old story of how that they who took the communion down there walked through the wilderness for 40 years. And when they come out, there wasn't a feeble one among them. Even their clothes was not even threadbare for 40 years. God had kept them. What a blessed assurance it is to us tonight. If that be the type, then Christ is the antitype in how that God delivered the children. Before I go further in that, I'm going to just insert this. I've seen people almost leave church over communion and how communion is handled. Brother Branham just made a statement here that sometimes we just read right over the top of it, but it says communion was held the first way down in Egypt. Communion was held the first way down in Egypt. Now, what happened in Egypt is that every household had to slay a lamb and put the blood on their door, right? Every household. I couldn't necessarily go to your house and borrow your blood and put it on my door. And you couldn't do that to me either. You had to have your own lamb that you slayed and put the blood on the door. And when Brother Branham's saying that communion in the first form was held that way, it was really down, it was the individuals doing certain things in order to have communion. So when I look at communion from that angle, that's why it does not trouble me when I go to a church and they have multiple cups for communion, because each person would have had their own individual back in Egypt. Amen. You understand? Now, if I go to a church and they have one cup, I just join right in and drink one out of one cup. Amen. Right? But if I go to a church and they have many cups, because Brother Branham did it both ways, right? And the latter part of his ministry, it was multiple cups. In the early part, it was one cup. The latter part, it was multiple cups. And one of the primary reasons Brother Branham did that, a lot of people have a lot of things that they say, but one of the primary reasons Brother Branham did that is because there were different diseases that were going around at that time. Praise the Lord. And so the people, just a little concerned that there are diseases, and we have a disease going around right now. Amen. And again, here we come back to that whole thing. You ain't got faith. I got faith. That's why I just said, if I go to a church and they're doing it, I got faith that I can join right in with no problem. I got that kind of faith. But if I go to a church and they choose not to do it that way, it's okay, because in the original form, this is what they did back in Egypt. We shouldn't allow things like that. One cup versus many cups. That's not the reason Jesus died. For us to fight over one cup versus many cups. That wasn't the reason why Jesus took communion with the disciples. That was not the purpose of it, right? So we ought to stop. We ought to grow up in God and not allow the enemy to use little things like that to bring division. All right, let me keep going. Communion was held the first way down in Egypt. The first communion, which was the Passover lamb that was slain, which was the type of Christ. And many of us are familiar with that blessed old story, how that who took the communion down there walked through the wilderness for 40 years, and when they come out, there wasn't a feeble one among them, and even their clothes was not even threadbare for 40 years. God had kept them. What a blessed assurance it is to us tonight. If that be the type, then Christ is the antitype on how that God delivered the children. He goes on and says, and in the taking of the communion was the difference between life and death. Those who were on the inside under the shed blood took the communion. No one could take the communion outside of being under the shed blood. The blood of the lamb was shed first and then was put on the lintel in the doorpost. The lintel is a cross timber and on the doorpost. And when the lamb was roasted and was eaten with bitter herbs, and they girded themselves after the blood was shed, and they had passed under the shed blood, they were girded and ready for the march. And now it's a very beautiful type tonight of people who take communion is not to be associated or affiliated with the things of the world anymore. It says they must come under the blood first and be cleansed from all sin, which is unbelief, and then be shod with the preparation of the gospel, on the whole, having on the whole armor of God ready for the summons at any time. It says, and it was the sign that the death angel could not go beneath that blood. The death angel had to rise and go over the blood. And there's where the poet got the inspiration, saying, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It was near the hour of deliverance when they accepted the communion, the roasted lamb, and the herbs
that they taken before leaving. So he's saying here, when they took the communion, they were dressed and ready to leave Egypt right after the communion. And this is what, you know, we put on the whole armor of God as Christians. It causes us to be fully dressed and ready to leave whenever God would call for us. Ready to take a rapture. Always we got this shield of faith. Always we got this belt girded around with truth. Always we got our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Always we got the helmet of salvation. Always we got this breastplate of righteousness. We're always ready to go whenever God would call. We don't lay it down for nothing. You better keep your sword in your hand. That's what the song say. Keep your sword in your hand and you fight on. Amen. 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 All right. a couple more quotes here and we will I slipped something. Okay, I think I put it in the wrong spot. But this in message redemption by power. Yeah. So it says this. Let's turn over to Ephesians, about the sixth chapter of the Ephesians, and look in here what Paul said about getting the church ready. Sixth chapter of Ephesians, beginning at the 14th verse of the sixth chapter. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all things, take the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. See, Paul dressing up a man for the battlefield, for the march. God, in the beginning of delivering Israel, he said, now you ought to get ready for the march. When you come under the blood, put on your shoes, gird up your loins, get your staff in your hand, and get ready for the call. I like that. A man now, when he comes into Christ, he gets his gospel shoes on to preach the gospel. The helmet of salvation on, the breastplate of righteousness, girds up his loins, and he's getting ready to just kind of say something there. I want to just mention something here before I go further in this quote. Just a little note in my Bible regarding this breastplate of righteousness. They made a statement that says, it represents a holy character and a moral conduct. And they said, obedience to the truth known produces a godly life, or produces the righteousness, all right? Obedience to a truth known. And when they use the term obedience to the truth known, I want to kind of turn it around and say obedience to the known truth. Obedience to the known truth. Oh, I can work with that. Obedience to the known truth is what produces a godly life. I've watched people turn away from the truth, the known truth. I've watched them turn away from it, and they cannot live sanctified anymore. But obedience to the known truth produces a godly life, which is this breastplate of righteousness. It's a godly life. Amen. Let's go on. It says, usually in the old, and the old soldiers, when they put on those ornaments of war, they had a big belt that buckled it together, holding over their loins these shields to keep the enemy's spears off. What a real lesson that is to us. And when the loin began to get weak, hang down the shield, they tighten up on their belt, and bring them up tight again. And what a perfect picture today when you begin to feel like you're slacking. Or the devil says it's no use. Reach down and tighten up the belt a little bit. Pull up the sword a little tight in the hand and go forward. I like that. Be ready for the march. Every man walking under that blood that night was commanded to stay there, not go out until the orders come to march. And see, when the orders came to march, they had to be ready. You couldn't be getting ready. You had to already be ready. Amen. The same thing when it comes for this rapture. We can't be getting ready. We have to already be ready. Like I was saying on Sunday, the lady said, when the man announced that, yeah, if we can just weather this storm for 30 minutes, you know, we'll make it to the port. And they say, everybody, you know, everybody pray. Everybody pray. That lady just said, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And I'm like, what you praising God for? I told you. Did you hear what I just said? Yeah, I heard you. See, but I got a daughter in New York, and I got a daughter in glory.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And in 30 minutes, I'm going to see one of them.
Yes, sir.
So and he said, well, you need to pray, man. I said, I don't need to pray because I'm prayed up. And we got to be prayed up, church. We got to be ready, amen, for the march. When the orders come, we want to be ready to go. Glory to God. Have the full armor of God on, ready to go. All right, it says, every man walking under that blood that night was commanded to stay there, not to go out until the orders come to march. And every man that's born of the Spirit of God comes into Christ, has everlasting life, puts on a shield, his breastplate standing ready and forbidden to leave until orders to march. Oh, isn't it marvelous? Aren't you glad you got it all harnessed up tonight, you soldiers? The other thing I'll tell you, this arm of God, it's not only meant to defend, but it's also meant to put you in an offensive position. Amen. You're not always going to be in a defensive position, but you're going to move into an offensive position. Amen. And I tell you the truth. I the Lord told us that early this year that it's time for the church to move to the offense. And I believe that. I believe that. The Lord just been working and giving me a little sermon around that. So sometime here in the near future, I will get a chance to preach it. Move into the offense. But this armor is given to you so you can be offensive minded, not defensive minded. No, the shield helps to block. That's what that shield is for. But you got something in this other hand. You got a shield in this, and that's if you left-handed or right-handed. If you're left-handed, you might have it like this. You got a sword over here. And in the Bible, they had some guys that were left-handed that could hurl a rock. And people weren't expecting that. You get hit by a left-handed person, not expecting you. You're expecting everybody to be right-handed, but you get hit by a left hand. But if you're right-handed, you put this shield up on the left hand like this to block. But remember, there's a sword over here. And the sword is not to defend. The sword is to go on the offense. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thank God for this. All right, we'll stop there for tonight. And we'll pick up again. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful for your truth. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you, Lord, that Paul is encouraging us when we have done everything we can to stand. Just keep standing. Gird ourselves with truth, this belt of truth. This breastplate of righteousness. And God, is when we're standing on the word, that's what gives us power over the enemy. Lord, we can overcome every devil. Father, that tries to attack in any way. And the way that we overcome is not through supernatural means. Supernatural only vindicates the word that we're standing on. The supernatural is what comes when the healing actually manifests. But oh God, before then we have to stand faithful to that word and keep confessing that word. I thank you, Lord, for just this little thing you gave me on yesterday, just little statement there out of Psalms 85, I believe. No good thing will you withhold from them that walk upright before you. Lord, we can grab a hold of something like that and just believe you for the impossible. I pray, Lord, that you just continue to strengthen and bless your people. Help us, Lord, to remain faithful to the word. Thy word have we hid in our heart that we might not sin against you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. A few announcements here. So Sunday morning prayer from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. and then service at 10:30.
Don't forget Sunday school from 9:30 to 10 for our youth and our young adult classes. Streaming continues through Twitter, Facebook, and our church website, john423.org. Don't forget, we have a picnic coming up on Memorial Day, and that is Monday, May 27th. It's going to start at 11 a.m. over here at Haverhill Park, so we look forward to that. Also, the Youth and Family Camp in Batesburg, South Carolina, being hosted by Jesus Christ Tabernacle. That's June 6th through 9th, and the registration deadline is today, May 15th. So if you didn't register, you can, and they have a payment deadline for May 18th on Saturday. So keep that in mind. You can go to www.jcttcamp.com to do that. One other event that we need to add that I just found out about. We're going to be doing a combined service fellowship again here in this area. June 30th is the day that has been selected. It's going to be hosted at Brother Gene's Church in Boynton Beach. They'll be doing the combined fellowship service that we used to do all the time. But we're doing that Brother James Church in Boynton Beach on June 30th. I believe it'll be at 6 p.m., amen, on June 30th. So keep that in mind. Certainly looking forward to it. I know a number of saints have been asking about it. And we want to try to get back to the way we used to fellowship. So we'll be looking forward to that. Brother Keith Brown there in St. Augustine, Victor Tabernacle, they're having their June camp meetings. That's going to be Friday, June 21st, Saturday, June 22nd, and Sunday, June 23rd. You see 7 p.m., 5 p.m., and 11 a.m. Also, we have the Message Believers Youth Banquet that we are hosting here at Riviera Beach Marina. That's Friday, August 23rd from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. It's for single youth ages 13 to 40. Registration is open, so you're welcome to go to the app and download it. So look for the Spirit and Truth app. Our logo is there on the screen. Just look for that logo and search for Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. When you go to the App Store or the Google Play Store, you'll find that logo, Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. Download it, click on the very first little scroll thing there, has a banquet, and you can register right there. The night of worship is going to happen on August 24th at 6 p.m. We are getting the South Florida Choir together. And the South Florida Choir will be singing a few songs in this during this night of worship. We'll be having rehearsals at Brother Gene's Church. The very first rehearsal will be, I think, Saturday, June 1st. 6 p.m. And then there's another Saturday, June 29th, that we'll be having another rehearsal at Brother Gene's Church. So those that want to be a part of that choir, our young people that want to be a part of that choir, and I know some of our Calebs also might want to be a part of that choir. Those are the days, June 1st, June 29th will be the first two rehearsals that we'll have at Brother Gene's Church. All right, looking forward to that. Anything else that I have? Okay, giving. All right, Cash App, Zelle, or PayPal. Cash App is $ Spirit and Truth T. Zelle and PayPal is giving at john423.org. And we have our mailing address on the bottom of the screen as well for giving. Those that are in the house of God, we have the box on the back table that you can use if you desire. All right, praise the Lord. Do we have any that want to share testimony or a praise report tonight before we leave? Okay, Sister Virginia has
one. God bless you. I just want to thank God just for sparing me this morning from an accident. I was sitting at the light on Roy Palm and Orange Grove, and the light changed, and I saw it green, but it's like I just couldn't move. I was headed west, and a few seconds later, car came headed south, just flying, and ran the red light. So I know if I had pulled out when I saw the light turning green, it would have been a disaster. Mm. So I just thank God for His grace and mercy.
Amen. thank the Lord for watching over our precious sister. Anybody else want to share? Okay, all right. Okay, we got one in the back.
God bless, saints. Just a prayer request. My sister, older sister, she is a mother of seven boys. And recently, about a few days ago, her firstborn son was arrested. And she's asking prayer. It was something that they had found in the home. I think some weapon or something. So she's been praying, but she's soliciting prayer because this is the first time she's gone through something like this. His name is Lorvinsky. Lorvinsky Francois. So he's being detained at this time for, I think, 30 days. He's having a court date coming up soon, but she would solicit your prayers that the Lord would use this opportunity to speak to him and deal with his heart.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll remember him in prayer. I don't know if I get Lorvinsky, but I think I got Francois. Yeah. If I forget. Yeah, anybody else? Okay, right here.
God bless you. I want to thank God for my test scores in school for my kids. Didn't know exactly how they were going to do. And for my homeroom, I scored in the 55, 56 percentiles, with only two kids being retained out of 23. Oh. So that was really good, and I thank God for that. And in my math, with my homeroom, I scored 65%, and I was the highest third grade score in the school. So I thank God for that.
Amen. Amen. I know that's a lot of pressure. Thank God for coming through. We got one more behind you.
The Lord just rebuked me for sitting down. Just wanted to say this. Thank God for years I've had a desire to get a piano, and God blessed my family and I with a free piano. It was a few thousand dollars of cost, but we ran into someone and they were willing to give it away for free.
Mm. So praise the Lord.
Thank God for that.
All right. Got some new musicians coming up in that house, so we certainly thank the Lord. All right. I was also just going to mention, if you all just keep me in prayer, I have a busy couple weeks coming up. I have a minister's meeting that I have to attend, and I'm one of the guest speakers for the minister's meeting this weekend in South Carolina. And then I'll also be preaching for Brother Belton on Sunday morning. But once I'll get back home on Sunday night, but have to head right back out on next Wednesday for a wedding that I have to go to in New York. Brother Gideon LaFontaine is getting married, and they asked me to sing in the wedding, so I'll be there doing that. And I'll go to the wedding. Go to wedding rehearsal next Wednesday, wedding on Thursday, come back home on Friday, and then on Saturday, I have to perform a wedding here in West Palm. We have one of the saints in Brother Gene's church asked me to do their wedding for them, so it'll be pretty busy for me just these next couple weeks, and I think I might get 2 weeks off, and then I'll have to head out to Canada for two back-to-back weekends. I got meetings, three services on one weekend, three services on another weekend, and then a service in the middle of the week. So just trust in the Lord to give us strength to get through this little season. But please keep us in your prayers, amen, as we navigate this. So let's pray. Father, we just come
In the name of Jesus, thank you, God, for watching over our precious sister, Virginia. Lord, you just gave her the vehicle, and the devil don't like it and would try to take her out by somebody running that light this morning. Thank you that the Spirit of God was there to cause her not to move. The scripture tells us that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them from all their troubles. So thank you, Lord, for proving your word once again. Father, we thank you that you blessed Sister Tina's classroom, that the kids were able to do well on the tests. And we just appreciate, Lord, how you just given her wisdom, how to navigate and just teach the kids and how they've been able to absorb the lessons and do well in the testing. So thank you for just proving yourself there. Also, Lord, you've blessed my brother Jerry and his family with a piano. God, we don't know who you have in that house that you raise up as a musician, but you gave them the piano for a reason. And I ask that, Father, you would be glorified and magnified in the midst of that. We also want to pray for his nephew. God, Francois, young man, is there in jail for 30 days, and the mother just never been through nothing like this. And God, if I recall, this family lost the father some time ago, and now this mama left, they're trying to raise these seven boys. God, it's a tremendous, tremendous job that she has on her hands. And Lord, just give her peace that passeth all understanding. May she not be wishy-washy, but Lord, may she stand firm on the word of God and Lord, just raise them up in the way that they should go, knowing that you promised that when they get old, they would not depart. So we pray that you give her peace, give wisdom, Father, to the direction and things that she would be hearing, and help, Lord, all these young men to get a hold of you, that you could take control of their lives, and Lord, just direct them and keep them out of the enemy's grasp. So, Father, we just commit them, Father, into your hands. We pray your blessings upon the saints. Lord, as we leave this place and prepare to come back here on Sunday morning, God, we know that you have a word for us, and we come with an expectation that you will meet us here, Lord Jesus, in a very, very special way, and that the Spirit of God would have preeminence in this place. May you get all the glory, may you get all the honor, and may you get all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 The Lord richly bless you. The brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. And service on Sunday morning, 10:30. God bless you.